Go ahead and go to the notes. You see I quote there out of Peter and Revelation, and there are other scriptures that say that. We are called to be kings and priests. The long and the short, without going into the depth we could and should go into, is our kingly ministry, is the governing side of who we are, governing side of our personality, the skill sets that are related to governing, building, leading. Everybody has a major, say everybody. Does that mean you? That means all of us have a kingly dimension and a kingly facet to our personalities, whether you like that or not. Human beings tend to prefer to be kingly or priestly, but seldom both, because they are counterbalanced. The kingly side of me is the decision-making side of me, the stewardship. Everybody say stewardship. That's the kingly side of managing, adding to, multiplying resources, training people to make wise decisions. We're talking about discipling here a moment ago. All of that comes out of the kingly, governing, governmental dimension to who we are. And the A-type personalities, the kingly stuff is what you love most. The priestly side is the whole side of humility, of brokenness, of petition, of softness, of being relationally driven. How many of you know when you're in your kingly side, you're not usually very relationally driven? You're function driven. And we have to, when we are in the kingly side of who we are, we have to remember that, as the Holy Spirit has said several times here in these meetings, the relationships are more important than being right. The relationships are frequently more important than the structure. There are occasions when the structure are critical, but they're not as critical as our kingly side usually wants to make them. So we live in that tension. As Patty started, I was thinking about my own journey. And I'm going to speak foolishly. It's always, when you speak about yourself, you need to be careful. Those of you that are in the business school, you remember lesson number 24 of the second year. It's called the Green Light Special. And all of us that are know what the Green Light Special is, and if you've not, you know, see if you can talk KJ into releasing that one CD to you. Because the business school is private. We only usually do that for people in it. But the long and the short of the Green Light Special is, the moment I speak something and make a declaration, like I am going to, or I will, or this is going to happen, we are pushing a green button, which says to God and the devil, you can now test me on whether or not I can do what I just said. Once you understand this, I'm as serious as a heart attack. Once you understand what happens when we make declarations, you will begin to measure your declarations. Because one of the attributes that makes God God is he cannot be separated from his declarations. We're separated frequently. Now we are called to become like God. Amen? How many of you are not interested in getting angel wings? I'm not called to be an angel. I'm called to let the life of God be reproduced in me. And one of his attributes is to come to the place to measure my words so that if I say something, I have the ability to bring to pass what I said without sabotaging it or letting the enemy disrupt it. Okay. Now, I know the business school folks, because you got this in spades in that lesson. I know you know what I'm saying. I hope the rest of you catch enough of it to begin to measure your words, especially when you talk about yourself. Because the enemy and God both enjoy showing us where we really are. How many of you know that God wants to show us where we really are? And how many of you know we don't necessarily live where we really are? Okay, we're doing things above our pay grade and don't know it. That being said, with me, I was the classic better late than early little boy. I should never have been put in school, probably till I was 10. I'm an Indian, which only God and a few people really understand my core identity. I was convinced that I was an Indian who did not trust the white man. I do not know where that came from. I'm serious. But one of the shocking days of my life was my mother, who I knew loved me. I was in my breech cloth out in the front yard, and I'd been building on my canoes by the garage, and she came out to me and said, "Dennis, you're going to have to start going to school." And I could not understand why she would do that. Why would you take me away from my life as a Blackfoot Indian? That's who I am. I inherently did not trust the white man. I don't know what that was. And as a matter of fact, when I went to school under protest, some of you have heard this story, and I refused to read because I did not trust, I mean, the teacher was nice, but I don't trust the white man's ways. And they sent a note home from the principal saying, "We're very worried about Dennis, and behaves fine, he's very polite, but he refuses to read." Well, my mom was graced and prayed a lot, and she decided how she would approach this. So she shared the note with me and said, "They're worried about you." And I told her, "I'm sorry, I just don't trust reading. I'm not interested in reading." She said, "Now, Dennis, here's what you need to understand. If you learn to read, you can learn more about your people." That's a smart mother. with our brother and Nick Roger, Roger Layton. Whenever I see Roger, I say, "Now, Roger, what I tell you every time, you need to remember this: don't trust the white man." So, that being clear, they sent me home about 2 months later with another note saying, "We have no idea what happened to Dennis, but he's now read 32 books. He's a genius." Which only confirmed you can't trust a white man. Because young as I was, I understood I couldn't go from being an idiot to a genius in 2 months. That's a true story. Anyway, about me. And this is going where Patty was. And where I think we're supposed to go on this priest thing. God gave me a strong body. I was fast. I was strong. And I am very connected physically to my body. And I was the guy in Chariots of Fire. And I blew my athletic career. There's a whole thing. I was set up, not an excuse, but a life situation set me up in a situation where I compromised my relationship with God. And in compromising the relationship, I broke the partnership that I had been given with God in my body as an athlete. I was the guy in Chariots of Fire who said, "God made me fast, and I can feel his pleasure when I'm..." I would, at the end of the runways and before what I did, I was a decathlon performer, trying out for the Olympics when I was very young. I could feel God's presence in my body. And my thrill was to do that stuff with him. We had a partnership, and I violated the partnership. So that I've had this sense of strength and all that kind of stuff. And when I got sick for the first time in my life, really, in 2010, some of you are aware of that, and I appreciate all your prayers. I had never been weak. And how many of you know God knows exactly where to touch you when he wants to deal with your strength? And in touching my strength and in making me weak, he started a process in me of being weak and not panicking in being weak. And my heroes changed from the strong to the weak, and recognizing that there's millions of people who spend their whole life in weakness and physical pain, and it's a reality that I knew nothing about until God allowed me to go into that experience. And I came out of it, and I was changed, and I had some tremendous demonic activity after me in that. How many of you know Satan, to those of you that are strong, is looking forward to the day when you're not and show up? And I just went through that battle again, and again I appreciate it. On one level, it makes no sense, and I'd fuss with God saying, you made me strong. Why are you allowing this? Don't you understand this doesn't belong to me? This is not, what does this have to do with me? It's a contradiction to who you made me as strong. And when we get into the whole discussion about priests, then the relevancy of what I'm trying to say to you comes to life. Now, I also, you know, I was a guy, I enjoyed fighting, but I didn't enjoy hurting people. I'm not somebody that wants to hurt people. I enjoyed physical contact and football. I boxed. I thought about being a boxer, professional boxer. I martial arts, all that stuff I've done. And I don't want to go into fights in weakness. I don't want to go into fights in weakness. I want to go into fights in strength. But the challenge as kings and priests is, can we as kings be strong and still be weak as priests at the same time? And probably everybody in this room, in wherever your source of strength is, and mine has been in my physical body, you're afraid to some degree to lose what you trust is your strength. And that's precisely the thing that God wants all of us to be willing to experience and be able to go in and out of it without having to get sick to do it. Now, I'm a bonehead. My great strength is once I've locked and loaded, and I do have a lock and load personality, as KJ will wrestle and tell you, I am not easily changed. That's my great strength. My great weakness is, once I've locked and loaded, I am not easily changed. My poor wife will tell you that. Now, don't try and look holy, because there's a bunch of you in here just like me. Okay, the A personality type is, dang it, this is what we're going to do, and God help us to what gets in the way. So here we are, at the beginning. We talk about Reformation at the beginning. And by the way, the thing that I don't like about life, because I was a sprinter, is this thing is a marathon, not a sprint. I like sprinting. I like blasting with every ounce of energy and exploding in a situation, and it's over relatively quickly. The marathon is not my personality type phenomena, which has made life hard for poor Dennis. Are there any other sprinters in this place? And ladies, you can be sprinters as much as Randy. I know you very well, so I won't look at you. So here we are again. When we talk about Reformation as it played out took several hundred years. We use the word as if it was an event and that it transpired, within a year or two, the world had changed. No, that is not the way Reformation worked. Reformation is a process whereby one by one, major things are changed, and usually not without a hell of a fight. I use the word hell advisedly. Because Reformation breaks down power alliances and power brokerages. And, Uli and some of us, Doug, others in this room are, working and very concerned about the economic side of it and the alliances of power that are behind the global economics are powerful walls guarded by demonic princes. And those things are not going to come down quickly or easily. They don't care what the right answers are. They care about maintaining their positions. So you got a whole series of obstacles, culturally and spiritually, that Reformation will in the process be knocking down one at a time, battle after battle. Now, why am I saying that? Because we don't want to walk out of here thinking that because we prophetically discern what time we're in, which is the beginning, and as I said and made the comment to Lance, it isn't going to matter on one level what Trump ends up doing. He's already done probably the biggest thing he will do, which is blast a giant hole in the political apparatus. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't do what he did. You just can't do that. Anybody that knows how you run elections, it's the opposite of everything he did. Everybody kept saying it was funny to watch. He would, has got foot and mouth disease. Every single day he would say something that would blow any other historic candidate out of the water. And Fox News and everybody else was saying, this time that jackass said what he can't say.
It's over.
No, please hear me. I actually know what I'm talking about here. You can't do what he did and win. It's not possible. And the Democrats, they're trying to blame poor Putin for that. Now, Putin is a piece of work, but he did not blast that hole. God blasted that hole. And everybody's still trying to figure out what was that. That tells me, and this gets me here, that tells me game on. Game on. And when God does something like that, I know I'm looking for external affirmations, not personal opinions of what I think is going on. I want to see in the real world holes blasted by God and not just be led by my own prophetic nature. Okay. Game on. Game on. Now, there's a fighting technique called fighting in the opposite spirit, and it also actually functions in the spirit. Spiritual dimension, because all fighting is warfare. If you're fire, I'm ice. When you serious high-level fighting is very, very rhythmic, and we learn how to punch and block on half beats, quarter beats. We're cutting angles. There's a whole world going on in that that you think this is smash bang. No, it's way beyond that at a certain skill set level. And you're doing things on a metronome, rhythmic pattern, and you're trying to establish the speed of your pattern against their pattern. And if you go really fast, I'm going to try and go as slow as I can. I'll slow the fight down by blocking you and staying on the blocks instead of pulling away. Boom, boom, boom. Just staying on it. I will go the opposite direction of what you're doing. Ministering in the opposite spirit. I know some of you are very familiar with that. And now we get back into kings and priests. Do I respond as a king when God wants me to respond as a priest? Or do I respond as a priest when God wants me to respond as a king? Now, my nature, although my bark is worse than my bite, except in certain situations, then my bark and my bite are the same. But I'm basically a nice guy. I really am. I'm not mean. I'm physical, but I'm not dangerous in that way. But my prophetic personality, especially around the misuse of truth or the abuse of people, all that stuff brings up my kingly nature. I am to some degree a rescuer. I'm a defender. All that thing is deep in me. I could never watch somebody get beaten without intervening. That is, I could not do that. Okay. So, going into what we are going into, especially when the enemy is flipping us off in every conceivable way and coming at us with anger and hate, Are you sensing and seeing what I'm seeing out there? The hate level is off the chart. And now you got people on TV from the left arguing that they should be allowed to physically beat people or remove people. I mean, we're back to brown shirt Nazi Germany. And this thing is going to come unhinged. Because now the Trump supporters, for example, are the first set of conservatives who are not running away from the fight. Up to this point in time, the conservatives are the wusses, and the left is violent and has been violent for a long time. If you want to see hate, go to a peace march. I'm dead serious. You go to a peace march, you're going to see hate in people that is scary. Scary. By the way, I'm not trying to make conservatives virtuous, because the conservatives are most maybe just cowards. I mean, that is possible. So now we are getting parachuted, dropped down into a battle, which we wanted to be intellectual or verbal or prophetic, prophesying against people. We did not want to be dropped down into a hate-filled battlefield. Because who wants to deal with that? I mean, if somebody gets in my face, and I feel the aggressiveness of their hate and their anger. And some of them carry a murderous spirit. Everything in me wants to awaken the stuff I do. Okay? I don't want that awakened because I want to be able to stand as a priest, not as a king, in front of that hate stuff. And I know what's coming. I know, here's me pushing a green light, but I've known it for a long time. I know with me, one of the things the enemy wants to do is get me in a situation where I actually would really hurt somebody. Because I can kill people in a second or two. I'm not saying to brag, I'm just saying that's the stuff. I don't want to be put in a situation where that thing begins to work. I want to be sick Dennis, not strong Dennis. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Okay? So that what I'm trying to say is when I'm weak is when I'm usable to God in ways that I'm not usable when I've dropped back into Dennis, the king. Now, there are situations when he wants us to be kings. And you talk about having to follow the Holy Spirit. This makes me really emotional. I don't know what I will do if I watch people I love getting hurt. I can't imagine that I can watch that. Now, by God's grace, I can moderate what I do. But I don't even want the challenge of having to do that. And I'm not just saying physically, I mean in the spirit as well. I don't want to, I can lash out with verbal fighting. I know a few words. I'm not talking about bad words. I'm talking about using intellectual words to make people look like idiots. I don't want to do that either. I've debated Bill Maher about 100 times in my mind. I have a word for him that I can't use in here. But he brings that out of me. You little snot-nosed twit. And then you think about the worldly words that we have where we've used to categorize these people. We've all got a repertoire from wuss to other things as we get. So here's the challenge we have. We're about to go into that. My pal here, Calvin and Zanetta, we were talking last night. God's really beginning to use him in a major way in Missouri, what he's doing. And he's dealing with the sexual stuff. That's the part that is most egregious to me. You know, the self-hate that is in the gay community makes them very dangerous. Are you understanding what I just said? They can say whatever they want to say about being gay. But I want to tell you the internal self-rejection that is going on in their personalities, it's like they can never get enough affirmation. It wouldn't matter how much we affirm them in society and how liberal we make it, it will never be enough. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? To what's internally going on within them. I had some friends that were in the homicide division in San Francisco police. And they said, Dennis, the thing that we never want is to get the call to go to the homosexual murders. The violence, the destruction that they do to each other, it's a nightmare. It's because of all that stuff that is in them that can't find peace, no matter what they say, about trying to deal with the sexuality issues that they have. And it's not that straight people don't have issues too. I hope you understand what I'm saying. But the contradiction of that stuff, okay? So we're going into that. And we got to go into that very, very carefully. very, very carefully. The racial stuff, I'll never forget the moment. I had several key moments in the whole racial thing. One of which was one of the football players on the team when I was at Berkeley called me an N-lover because of the friendship and love I had with some of my brothers who happened to be African-American. And when he used that word, isn't that amazing? I'm sure every one of you had a similar experience. That word cut me in a moment. It's like that, the word didn't go away. It's like the word hung there for maybe 15 seconds. It just literally stopped me because it was the first time I ever felt what that word actually meant. Now, I'd been in locker rooms with brothers, and I've heard them call each other the N-word all the time and juke and jive. And white guys don't call them that, but they do themselves, you know. And that's part of the brotherhood of where that is. But that word hit me, and it changed my life. Because I got what was behind that word. The dehumanization of what that was. And as I got into the civil rights movement and became very, very emotionally connected with that issue. And in Berkeley, you know, we were in those early 60 years, we were pretty well working that out fast with the whites and the blacks in that situation. I mean, we were together a lot, and we were living. You know, we got way beyond that on carnal ways. I remember one of the first times I was with one of the brothers who was smoking a joint, and they were passing it around, and they were all the other guys black, came to me as white. I could read in his eyes in a second as we passed that joint around, is this white guy going to suck on the same joint to me? And I took that thing out of his mouth. Dig it, brother. That was, do you understand what I just did?
I stopped smoking about 36 years ago.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Okay. So there's all of that. What do I do in the Black Lives Matter thing with the angry black who has no clue where I'm coming from and hits me with all that hate? How do I deal with that? How do I deal with, I had gays call me up back years ago and say, we know who Adam and Rachel and Catherine are, and use my kids. I got real sneaky as quick as I could, but I guess he's smart enough to figure me out. I said, you know what, can we meet and talk about this? My inside was, you please come and talk. You use my kid's name. I will help you understand some stuff. Okay. So I'm not trying to overwhelm you. We're talking in the statesman. Where we are right now is putting a lot of emphasis on building local community. How do we begin to create spiritual government in local community and all that's involved in doing it? Because that's got to happen. Power is going to get sucked out of central government because it can't afford to do what it's doing. The financial crisis is going to push responsibility down to every small and large city on this planet. And we need to get there before that happens and have infrastructure in place. That's a duh. That's a no-brainer. And everybody in this room has got some level of responsibility in your own city. I mean, you do. And the question is, what are you going to do with it? And how do we get the pastors to make the shifts? Okay? It's going to be more important that the church shows up on a local level than that those people know all the verses in the Bible and can deal with biblical theology. I mean, in terms of the prophetic witness, the witness is going to be how we show up more than what we know. And I'm for knowledge. I'm just saying the witness is going to matter a big chunk. Now, we talked yesterday in the Statesman about the problem with going into discipling nations is we are tweaking the nose and pulling on the ears of demonic spirits that we've not touched before. We are the ant floating down the river saying, "Open the drawbridge, I'm coming through." The delusions of grandeur that I have heard in Christian meetings where we start preaching and teaching against princes who I think stopped listening to us many years ago, if they ever listened to us at all. Because those guys are managing something we've not touched. We've posed no threat to them in any way whatsoever. Because until you see the kingdom and really get thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, we're not even dealing with those guys. And when those guys show up, Rick, as you and I know, they play ball at a different level. And we were telling stories of people that we've seen who started into this fight, and all of a sudden their worlds began to fall apart. There were things going on in their world that they did not know existed, and the enemy was perfectly content to let all that stuff lie until they got out in the street and got involved in something that affects those princes. And then all of a sudden, that little time bomb that had been in the family or financially, the enemy said, you know, now's a great time to blow that thing up. Just because things are going well with you right now does not mean there's no bombs around you. I'm not saying that to make you nervous. I'm just saying that that is spiritual reality. Now that means, back to Patty, we do not want to get into a fight that we've not been commissioned to be in. I don't want to fight those guys. I ran into one, the first sickness in 2010, that was so powerful that was literally after my mind. He touched my mind for maybe 3 seconds, and I could feel myself literally losing control of my brain. And the Holy Spirit, because, you know, I was in bed, but I turned to do war with him, and the Holy Spirit immediately said to me, "Don't you even look at him. Don't even engage him in any way whatsoever, because you don't want to engage this guy." Okay? That guy was tough. Okay? So we're going somewhere. And again, as leaders, that we've not been before. And we're going to engage spiritual powers that we've not engaged before. And none of us are John Wayne. And none of us, I hope, think we're Superman or Superwoman. And we need to be anointed and cut. We need to be cut out. We need to be set apart. And we need to know that we know that we know that we know that this is not our mental trip to be spiritual or make ourselves self-important or any of that kind of stuff, because that will not stand in this fight. That will not stand. The only thing that will stand is the marking of the Holy Spirit that we have been assigned to get into this conflict. And as this thing goes along and people are attracted to you and the anointing that you're walking in, you're going to have to be able to discern whether or not somebody is really called and ready to get into this, or whether or not you try and slow them down a little. You understand what I just said? That spiritual responsibility that most of us don't want. I've made the mistake of putting people in fights they couldn't win in the spirit. Because you have an anointing or because you have spiritual power, you do run the risk of putting people in fights they should not be in the spirit. Which means our relationship and our discernment has got to go to another level, because by nature we want to recruit everybody we can as fast as we can, because we need more people. And especially at the beginning of this conflict, where the core is being established, the early responders are the core of where a movement is built. And that core cannot be crushed. That's what the enemy wants to do, is crush it before it gets momentum. So the early responders have got to be clear that they are called, and they're not doing this in their own strength or because they think it's a good idea. Amen. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to say this is what it is. As you've heard me say, welcome to the NFL. Everybody's fast, everybody's tough, and everybody can hit you and knock your teeth out. Those are the guys that play that game. Okay? And that is a game that God wants, has to, and is building the leadership core of that globally right now. This is what's happening right now. Now, what I feel right this moment, because this is where I go when I touch this stuff, is I want to get my face, but I'm not going to do it, but if I was alone, I probably would get down and get my face on the rug and get as low as I can get and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I had a good attack this morning from the enemy. One of the things that bums me about the enemy is he knows things I don't know. I don't like that. I don't know how God sets those rules up. But he knew that I was supposed to do this before I knew I was supposed to do this morning. I want to get as low as I can and get as empty as I can and get as weak as I can and say, Jesus, because these guys are a lot tougher than me. I'm not afraid of them, but I respect their power. I respect their power. Okay? So I'm hoping that I got somewhere near the notes. I think I did. And I'll quit here in a minute. I don't know what God wants us to do. I don't know what God wants us to do right now. But I know we're not supposed to just go on quickly and move away quickly from what it is he's trying to say to us this morning. That's one of the real mistakes we make as Christians, is we move off stuff too quick. We move past things too quick. Could I suggest, could we have 15 minutes? I know we're supposed to break. Could we break 15 minutes from now rather than now and spend the next 15 minutes either in prayer to yourself? I pray in tongues a lot. I just want to walk around here and pray in tongues for a few minutes. Can we do that together? Let's do that. Let's just, and you do what you want to do. Don't be loud. Let's be quiet. Let's ask God, Father, in Jesus' name, begin to seal some of this stuff into us right now. Seal it as you, for each individual, the way you seal stuff. Seal it, Father. Do the cutting out that you spoke of through Patty. In Jesus' name.
This is a copyrighted program of Go Strategic, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Go Strategic is an international nonprofit organization that educates and equips leaders and others for effective service and leadership using biblical principles. For more information, visit us online at www.gostrategic.org.